No surprise, Bucks get that stop. Thon Maker, George Hill on the floor at the same time. Bucks defensive rating is like 0.86, or 86 points per 100 possessions.
Wax Ingles. George Hill able to keep it alive to the corner. Three-pointer, Thon Maker, yes. Great idea defensively by Bledsoe. Stepped in front, steals Giannis. What a great save there. He goes down, Maker flush.
Yeah. NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Straya. I am James Clements, your host. I am a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. What is it, Wednesday? January 9? Where's the year going, mate? Sure. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every single day of NBA action, just while repping Straya a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. So, we back. It's 2019. It's still wild. Sure. Lots of fun games the last couple of days, so we're going to talk about Nikola Jokic. Hello. Smashing. The Warriors keep rolling. We had a big Thon Maker, Kung Fu Thon, Kung Fu kicked his way through the Jazz. And whether or not the Spurs will be going after the extreme Zinger Burger himself, Kristaps Porzingis. Unreal. So that's all going to be covered with all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Old mate, no mate, spud of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, those evergreen favourites. Yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day at Outback Steakhouse, where we're serving up some fine grilled takes. We're also going to pick and preview for every single game over the next couple of days. And finally, we'll finish up with the brand new Rowdy's Recos. That's right. Ryan Rowdy Brokhoff is going to swing by and deliver one of his life hacks. It's going to be awesome. Trust me. All right, man. Let's just get stuck in, shall we? It's NBA Straya, episode 214. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brokhoff, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Oh, you better watch out for the big Thon Maker Kung Fu attack. Oh, geez. Oh, what else? Well, the big Nikola Jokic attack. Hello. He's Nikola. Look at me. He's smish. We've had a couple of wicked days in the NBA. A couple of big new bits of news. Chandler Parsons and Memphis Grizzlies are parting ways. We mentioned that on Monday. Everybody's like laughing at them now for like going, oh, yeah, Chandler, we'll try to trade you. And everyone else in the NBA is like, get the fuck out of here, Chris Wallace. How high are you, mate? The answer is clearly very. Anyway, so what else? Other news? Boogie! He's back. Well, at least he's penciling in an idea for when he's going to be back. DeMarcus Cousins there is expecting to debut for the Golden State Warriors against the Los Angeles Clippers of Los Angeles on January 18, American times. Not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad. So we'll get to sit there and go, oh, geez, bro. I don't know how Boogie really, really affects the Warriors. Like, I don't know if he makes them that much better, you know. To be honest, it's going to be interesting because you're going to go, oh shit, can this dude run? He could barely run in the first place. His entire thing was like, is everyone back on defense? Yeah, I guess I'll get there. 5 minutes later, he's sort of jogging up the fucking court. Anyway, it's going to be fun to see. It's also a little bit of a forebear that he's debuting in LA, considering that he'll probably be on the Lakers next year next to LeBron. You know it. Bit of a audition there, mate. Bit of an audition. Or at least he could be on the Clips next to Kawhi. Isn't that right? What do you reckon there, Kawhi? Yeah, that's what I thought. that's how it goes. What else other news? Oh, the NBA is starting to maybe perhaps investigate the circumstances surrounding Patrick McCaw's signing with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Isn't that right, Stephen A. Smith?
Cleveland!
And how they were like, all right, yeah, sure, here's this, you're a restricted free agent, here's our offer sheet of 2 years, $6 million. He signs it, Golden State declined to match it because it had cost him an arm and a fucking leg. And then he rolls into Cleveland. He's like, ah, hey, Dally, how you going? Dally's like, oh, what's going on, Dickhead? And Pat McCaw goes, oh, man, feeling pretty good. Just signed this big deal. And then the Cavs waive him. And now he's an unrestricted free agent. So basically, he and his agent used the Cavs as a force of change, basically, to force the Warriors' hands to make him an unrestricted free agent, which I fucking love. I don't know why this would be a problem. Like, why would they investigate it beyond the fact that maybe there's a bit of a weird collusion going on between the Cavs and, like, the agent of a player who's under contract? Well, I guess he's not under contract, but he is. They own his rights. So can they talk to him? That's weird. Ah, well, maybe they should investigate just to see what they can and can't fucking do, because I reckon that's fine. I mean, the Warriors didn't want to pay him. He goes and gets a contract offer. They don't match it. Then the guys see him and they're like, oh, actually, fuck it. We don't want him anymore. Now he's unrestricted. What's the fucking problem? Anyway, injury news. Nerlens Noel. Nerlens? It's like he plays really good and then you're like, oh, I really like Nerlens Noel.
It's a trap.
It is a trap. Thing is, he hurt his head pretty badly. Hit the hardwood pretty bloody hard, did Nerlens. Taken off in a stretcher today against the Wolves. Looked pretty brutal. And then they had him all wrapped up. So, as everybody else said, pray hands up for Nerlens. Love you, Nerlens. All right, let's do some game wraps for the last couple of days' worth of NBA games. Had some absolute pearls as well. What do we have? We had 2005 Finals rematch. The Spurs beat the Pistons in Detroit basketball. DeRozan there had another pearl of 26-9-7. Blake Griffin continues his sterling work, 34 points and 8 assists. But Pistons, they just kind of stink, don't they? 17-21. Spurs, man, they just keep on rolling. Loving it. Love the fact that they're basically the best team in the NBA since December 1. They've won 5 straight. Just can't be beaten. Love it. The Nuggets went and visited the Houston Rockets. The Rockets win 125-113. Nikola Jokic has a massive one. Harden throws in another 32-point game with 14 assists. Beautiful stuff. The Bucks beat the Jazz. I believe it's pronounced Yaz. I think it's a soft J. 114-102. This is what happens when the Jazz lose Dante Kangaroo Kobe Exum. They start getting their ass handed to them. Bucks are amazing. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 30-10. Looked great. Big Thon McCur, Big Dong Thong, Kung Fu Thon, Thon Song had 15 points in 18 minutes and absolutely dominated. That'll pop up later in the NBA Australian Player Watch. For the Jazz Jingles, oh, he had a shocker. It was the Stuff with Tower. Rudy Gobert had 14 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, and Donovan fucking Mitchell was on one early and then faded fast. It's like, oh, but bro, he had 26 points. He's really good. Mate, he shot 8 of fucking 24. Kobe! You know it. 6 of 12 from 3. Pretty bloody good. Couldn't hit the side of a fucking barn otherwise. Donovan Mitchell, he's going to pop up later as well. Stay tuned for that one. One of my favorite things I've come up with here at NBA Australia. The Pelicans were the Pelicans, not the Pelicans, when they beat the Grizzlies 114-95 yesterday. Anthony Davis had himself a game. 36 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists. That's better than Mike Conley, and he's 22-10. How's that Marc Gasol coach killing going? Oh, is that right? Have they not fired JB Bickerstaff, even though he's sucking and he's got a fully healthy team, as opposed to David Fizdale, who had most of his dudes out and got shit canned? Fucking hell. Marc Gasol, 3-10 in this game. 7 points. Oh, jeez. Anyway. Yeah, still hate him. There you go. Pelicans keeping rolling. 19-22 now. Grizz 18-22. And in an absolute tailspin, they've lost 13 of their last 15. And they've lost 6 straight. Gross. The Lakers went into Dallas and beat the Mavericks 107-97. Luka Doncic had a pearler of a game, 27-8. But Brandon Spindles Ingram had his best game of the season, 29 points, 6 assists, 3 assists. Looked good. It was a wild game too. Lonzo was pretty good in that as well. We'll talk about that in the Better Than Lonzo Ball segment. The Trailblazers beat the Knicks at home, 111-101. Dame had a good one, 17-9. Enes the Penis Cantor. Instead of going to London because he's afraid he's going to be killed by the Turkish president, he had 18 points and 14 rebounds on Enes the Penis. The Sacramento Kings 111-95 over the Orlando Magic. The Magic suck. Like, is there anything that you can tell me about this year where you're like, oh, the Magic did this thing and it was really interesting? Yeah, they've lost three straight again. They keep losing. Mo Bamba doesn't look like he really knows how to play basketball, which is a real shame because I had a lot of hopes for old Mo. I like the idea of him. In actual fact, though, like, you know, he's sort of 13 minutes a game, 14. So, yeah, it was in this Sacramento game. He played 13 minutes, missed all of his shots, had 5 rebounds, and that was it. 0 points, 0 assists, 0 blocks, 0 steals, 2 fouls and a turnover. Jesus! I know, right? So there you go. Kings, 20-20 at 500. Almost halfway through the season. Unbelievable. And then today's games, we had some actually really, really fun ones. I forgot to mention the Nets-Celtics game yesterday as well. Celtics beat them 116-95. Rodions Kuroks, I love him. He's going to pop up later. D'Angelo Russell had himself a shucker. 2 of 6 in 23 minutes. Baz Napier, 4 of 12. Oh, geez. But Boston were just all round pretty bloody good and just smoked them. Brooklyn on a back-to-back, what are you going to do? You get those on the big jobs. So today's games, the Pacers smoked the Cavs, 123-115. Thad Junk Buckets Young had 26 points in this one, crushed it. Fun-ish kind of like when the Pacers get their sort of wind up, damn, they're fun. Bojan had 23. The Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. Oh, yeah, I'll have combination meat. Thanks, Domantas. Yeah, lamb and beef. Yep. Yeah, just go easy on the tomatoes, would you? Thanks, Domantas. 15-9, 4 assists, 3 steals. Absolutely crushed it, playing in place of Miles Turner, who's still out injured. Hurt his shoulder, did Miles, which sucks because he's awesome. And Victor Oladipo at 17-5-2. Loving it. Loving it. It's good job, Pacers. They're 27-13 now. That is absolutely wild. Man, we got like a real like chunky fucking top of the East there, don't we? With the top five, we got Raptors, Bucks, Pacers, Sixers, and Celtics. The rest of the fucking East is just a schmozzle. It's awesome. Anyway, good job, Pacers. Speaking of the Sixers, they smoked the Wizards 132-115. Landry ShamWow was incredible in this one today. 29 points. We'll talk about him later. Brad Beal, in John Wall's absence, is absolutely going hog wild. There's like a stat where he's averaging over 30 points a game in all the games that John Wall's been out this year. And it makes sense because they clearly fucking hate each other. Way to go, Brad Beal. I love it. I mean, if you rocked up and your point guard was like rolling in every year just going, oh, yeah, man, I ate like 400 pies over the offseason. What do you reckon? You'd be like, oh, I fucking hate this guy. Hate him so much. Yeah. Last 5 games, he's averaging 25.8 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. Yeah, Brad Beal's good. We all know that. Nuggets went into Miami and eked one out, 103-99, basically on a Nikola Jokic, hello, game winner with a couple of seconds left. Heat then couldn't even really inbound the ball to have a shot at winning. So, yeah, it wasn't good. for the Heat, Hassan Whiteside had 12 points and 11 rebounds, but he's just still fucking horrible, isn't he? God damn, Wingen Hassan. Josh Richardson took one of the worst sort of, oh, I'm going to win this game for us, bro. Don't worry, man. And it was just an absolute fucking Barry Crocker shocker. He was 4 of 12 for 12 points for the night. Just brutal. 5 of 11 for Justice Winslow. Kelly Spudalinic, the hosiery. Oh, it's really good. Look at my cool beard, guys. It's like, all right, Kelly, settle the fuck down. You look like an idiot. Bam! Adebayo looked pretty good, though. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist and a steal. Man, I like him. D-Wade had 10 points, 3 of 7 shooting. Not bad, but not ideal. Whereas Nikola Jokic crushed it. Even Torrey Craig had the old NBL star, 11 points, 16 rebounds. Paul Thrillsap is back, 12 points, 9 rebounds. There's only one. Hernan Gomez had a shocker, 9.0 points. 9 minutes, 0 points. Gross. Pajam and Jamal Murray at 18 and 6. Man, Nuggets just keep on rolling. They're 27-12 now. It's pretty bloody good. The Hawks kept it close against the Raps. Raps basically had this crazy sequence where Kawhi locked up Trae Young and was just like, oh, yeah, come, best of luck. He had 31, led the Raptors, 104-101. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail, had 21 points and 14 rebounds. Love him. The Timberwolves in their first game, sans Tom. Ice! Thibodeau, 119-117 winners in OKC over OKC. Rusty Westbrook had 25 points, 16 assists, and 2 threes at the end of this game that made you go, what the fuck are you doing, Rusty? Jesus. Andrew Wiggins had 40. We'll talk about him in a second. But the Wolves get Ryan Saunders, son of the late Flip Saunders, longtime Wolves coach, his first NBA win. Ah, that's nice. The Suns beat the Kings, which was wild. The Kings, as mentioned, they were 20-20. Now they're 20-21 because they lost to the bloody Kings on a back-to-back. De'Aaron Fox, he had 24 points. But, man, just down the stretch, the Suns just had them. It was wild. They smoked him in the third quarter, and that was it, man. It was brutal. Kelly Oubre Jr., 26. DeAndre Ayton had a massive game. And, yeah, the old Kings over there just didn't look great. 17 and 12 for DeAndre Ayton. Jesus. 21 for TJ Warren on classic TJ Warren shooting of 9 of 19. Love it. Anytime you can go between 40 and 43% shooting efficiency, TJ Warren's going to be there. the Warriors. Look, the Knicks kept this close for a little while, mainly the first half. It was only, what, 61 to like 49 or something at the half. But it was even closer before then. And yeah, the Warriors just then kicked the shit out of him. Klay had 43. I think he's going to be okay. I think his shooting touch is back. Good job. And it was Super Mario Hezonja. Yes, he had 19 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. Free Mario. I love it. Let's go, Warriors. They're now 27-14. Still looking okay, aren't they? And finally, the Clippers beat the Hornets 128-109. Malik Monk looked great, but, you know, they were never really in this after the, basically during the third. It was just a write-off. Sweet Lou Williams had 27. Montrezl Harrell just had some really nice moves here and there. Kemba really couldn't get going. He had 6 of 18 shooting for 13 points. Brutal. Tough stuff. Tough stuff. Whereas Danilo Gallinari and Tobias Harris both top 20 as well. Montrezl Harrell at 23 and 11. Just really, really good stuff all around by the Clips. 20 for Gallo, 23 for Toby, 23 and 11 for Trez, and 27 for Sweet Lou. So it's pretty good stuff. That's pretty, pretty, pretty good. All right, so let's get through to the NBA Australia Approved performance of, I guess, the last couple of days.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That is a knife. Nikola Jokic, hello. Hits the game winner against Miami. Also had a cheeky triple-double, though. 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. Absolutely unreal. He looked like an absolute boost out there against Wijnaldum Hassan, and bam, Adebayo. Also had 24, 13, and 4 yesterday against Houston. So to come back with a cheeky triple-double on a back-to-back, and just kick some ass, that's pretty badass. So good job, Joker. Unreal. They needed that win, and they just eked it out. Miami looking amazing in those Miami Vice togs. Looked awesome, but Joker just could not be denied. And extra approved performance of the night. We're covering off 2 days, so we might as well give out 2 of them. How about that Canadian hoser, Andrew Wiggins, eh? Oh, that's really good, Andrew. I think you're doing a really good job. Oh, how about car parks, eh? Andrew Wiggins crushed it, shredded OKC once more. Back on December 23, he had 30 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. And then today, dropped a 40-piece on them. 40 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He was everywhere, shredded OKC. And especially considering that OKC were like, oh, we're going to game plan to make sure that he doesn't beat us. And then he went out and beat them. It was pretty cool. The thing, he went 16 of 18 from the free throw line as well. Very, very calmly held his nerve to basically seal the game down the stretch. The thing is, for Andrew Wiggins, he can have an NBA Australia approved performance of the night. That's fine. The thing is, he's going to go fucking missing for the next 2 weeks, and you're going to be like, ah, oh, is that guy good at basketball or not? It's the old fucking Jeff Green corollary. It's like, come on, man. Is Andrew Wiggins good? Maybe. Okay, sure. Maybe he just needed Tibbs to be fired, though. And this is how we go. So, speaking of which, who's old mate No Mates today?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Is it? Oh, is it still Tibbs? Ice. You know, he's just smashing some, he's just sitting in a bar somewhere, putting ice in his scotch over and over and over, screaming at some poor fucking bartender who's like, God damn it, why am I here in Minnesota? Jesus cripes, I'll tell you. This guy just keeps yelling ice at me over and over. Anyway, so Tibbs, still old mate, no mates, because did you see Ryan Saunders get absolutely fucking mobbed by every single member of the team after that Wolves win, getting him his first NBA win as interim head coach for the Wolves, and everybody loves him. That was awesome, and clearly they all just fucking hated Tibbs. So good job, Ryan Saunders, and Tibbs, you're still old mate, no mates. And of course, considering we're doing 2 days at a time at the moment, let's give another old mate, no mates out. How about Trevor Ariza in Washington? Everyone's fucking losing their minds about signing Trevor. We gotta sign Trevor Ariza. We've gotta sign Trevor Ariza. He went 1 of 7 today for 2 points. Meanwhile, Kelly Oubre Jr. had 26 for Phoenix. Holy shit. That trade made no fucking sense at the start. John Wall's now out for the season anyway. Now you're stuck with fucking Trevor Ariza next to Brad Beal. You're getting the shit pumped out of you by the goddamn Sixers. Washington, why the fuck are you trading a 23-year-old wing for a 33-year-old wing and going, oh, we're all going all in, and then John Wall goes out, you're like, oh, now we're fucked. Washington, you suck. Spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
This one goes to the spud who ran onto the court during the Miami-Denver game. I love the balls. I mean, good on you. He ran up. He's in a D-Wade jersey. It took everybody like a 2 Mississippi to realize that he wasn't actually a player. He's in a D-Wade jersey, runs on the court, grabs the free throw rebound of a Jamal Murray free throw, grabs the ball, and everyone's like, what? Is he like a ball boy? What the fuck? Thing is, he's like gibbering, jabbering to himself out of his mind. I'm like, how many fucking cans has this Joker had? Now, maybe some, well, he's down in Miami, so maybe it's that fucking face-eating bar salt shit, like that guy, you know, eating faces and shit that we had a little while ago. but it was wild, right? And you're like, yeah, this spud's going to get the absolute fucking shit kicked out of him. But the actual spud of the night, oh man, this one hurts me too. But it became, you know, the 3 missed 3s. And the 2 of them specifically right at the end of this game really brought it home for Rusty Westbrook. Oh, mate, I love him so much. 25 points and 16 assists. How could he be spud of the night? 2 of 7 turnovers, 11 of 22 shooting, 1 of 6 from 3. Right, Rusty, I love you, but mate, maybe don't take the 2 game-winning attempted threes in the last 20 seconds of a game when you are currently, over your last 5 games, shooting 19% from 3, and for the year, 23.8%. Just saying. Calm the fuck on, Rusty. Yeah, that's some spud of the night action. Pantsing of the evening. Well, this is for the last couple of days. James Harden sent Jamal Murray falling into the Earth's core with a crossover. That was absolutely a pantsing. Harden looked one way. Jamal kind of looked over there and then just like fell over. There was also a little bit of a shove and he slipped. So it's not like he crossed him out of his shoes. He actually kind of slipped as he was trying to go back over. So that's a bit of a pantsing. The more pantsing of pantsings was Steph Curry's stutter step that damn near killed Justin Jackson. I mean, a jab step. He just went, I'm going over here. And Justin Jackson just went, whoa, and fell the fuck over. He was so concerned about getting crossed and getting turned around that he just crossed himself. Ah, mate, Justin Jackson, congrats. You played yourself. Speaking of playing yourself, who was better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody as long as we don't have to shoot free throws. That's right, man. Landry ShamWow is today's better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball. Today, he had 29 points, 8 three-pointers made. That is one away from the rookie record, which was held by, I believe, Donovan Mitchell breaking Damian Lillard's extra record. So 8 three-pointers made. He was absolutely on fire. He goes 8 of 15 for the game. 29 points for ShamWow. Unbelievable. It's taken Trae Young and Lonzo Ball their last 4 games combined each to make 8 threes. So that's pretty bloody good. So ShamWow, you are definitely better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball today. Also, honorable mention to Rodion's Kuroks. Gets into the starting lineup. And apparently the Nets can't be fucking beaten in it all of a sudden. 24 points the other day against... against Boston. He was bloody good, even though they got shit pumped. Rodion Kuroks, you're crushing it, mate. And look, Lonzo had a pretty good game against the Mavs. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 8 of 15 from the field. Trae Young, though, 19, 5 and 4 against Toronto, 8 of 20 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3, however. So, ShamWow, you're better than both Trae Young and Lonzo Ball. And also, a little bit of a Lonzo Ball note. So, in high school, shooting 80% from the free throw line. At UCLA, 67.3%. His first year in the Lakers, 45.1%. And this year in the Lakers, 41.3%. This past month, 28% from the free throw line. In fact, Markel Fultz has made more free throws this season than Lonzo Ball. Markel Fultz hasn't fucking played since, like, I don't know, October. In 800 fewer minutes, he's made more free throws than Lonzo Ball this year. That is wild. So, yeah, there you go. Even Markel Fultz is better than Lonzo Ball at this point. Love it. All right, we'll be back in a second with some Yeah Nahs right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
Right, it is time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, did Steph premeditate his double step back travel in order to blow up James Harden's vibe and bring it to the league's attention? Oh, shit. Yeah Nah. Yeah, I mean, fucking Steph definitely has thought of it. He's going, you know what? If I do this double step back and take a three, and if I get called for a travel, I'm definitely making the 13 on my jersey just to make sure that James Harden gets called the fucking same as all of us. On you, Steph. I like it. I like it a lot. Number two. Are Raptors fans cowards for now cheering Vince Carter? Yeah, nah. Oh, we're going to talk about this in a second. next one. Do the Spurs actually have interest in signing Kristaps Porzingis? Oh, who is he? Is it the Extreme Zinger Meal? Is it?
Extreme Zinger Meal.
Yes. Oh, yeah, nah. Yes, of course they fucking are, like, interested in signing Kristaps Porzingis. Do they have a fucking, you know, poofdeen's chance in hell? Yeah, nah. No fucking way, mate. Knicks would just go, oh, yeah, cool. No, he's restricted. We'll match that. Fuck you. Too bad. I love this sort of dumb shit where you go, oh, man, maybe the Spurs will sign Kristaps. There is legitimately, like, barring the Knicks having the biggest brain spaz of all fucking time and going, no, we're a bit concerned about his knees, even though he's a superstar and a unicorn and fucking incredible and the best player we've had basically since Patrick Ewing. We don't know if we should give him a max contract. Meanwhile, no other motherfucker is ever going to come to your goddamn organization again, and nor will anyone in free agency sign there this year. So, of course, the Knicks are going to do everything they can to re-sign him. Yes, they'll try to get a little bit of a discount like Joel Embiid because of the injury history, but if push comes to shove and someone tries to, like, sign, he's not even going to get to restricted free agency. It's dumb. Stop doing it. Stop saying dumb shit. next one up. It'd be fun to see Kristaps on the Spurs, but it'd also be fun to see just Kristaps out there for the fucking Knicks, kicking ass and taking names. Next one. Should the Wolves have fired Tibbs? He was 19 and 21. Look, fucking yes. They pretty clearly hated playing for the gay guy. Like, my entire thing of, like, yeah, cool, he's going to kick some sense into them, make them play some defense, was clearly not fucking working out. He didn't make it halfway through his 5-year contract. Missed out by a day. Absolutely brutal. But still, I don't know. They clearly just weren't listening to the dude. And Ryan Saunders is in there now, and he's like, "Oh, hey guys, so can just have fun out there, all right?" And they go out and beat the fucking Thunder. Unreal. Next up was Landry Shamwell, the steal of the NBA draft. Whoa. Yeah, no. Fuck. Yeah. I mean, in terms of steals, he probably was, right? Like, he's having a better year than Colin Sexton, and he was number 8. He's having a better year than probably Kevin Knox. He's definitely better than Mo Bamba. Like, the fact that Dante DiVincenzo went before him is pretty wild when you sort of think about it. Because Sham Wow, he's taken 26 by the Sixers. Just imagine how bad they'd be without him at this point. Like, the lack of shooting is pretty brutal already on the Sixers. Take away Sham Wow, and they'd be fucked. Anyway, I mean, how good about Anthony Simons as well and the Trailblazers? You reckon they'd want Sham Wow right now? Even the Bulls, they love it. The Jazz would fucking love him too. So yeah, it's like feeling steely, just like Steely from Rick and Morty. Hey, I'm Steely. And I'm just going to steal some pretty awesome Landry Shamwells. So good stuff on your Sixers. You got the steal of the draft. 26. What's the expected resulting player out of that? Not much. And he's awesome. So good ship. Finally, if you were Jason Tatum, would you want to be traded for Anthony Davis? As he mentioned today, he's like, yeah, I'd trade me too for Anthony Davis. I mean, yeah, nah, yes, shit, yeah. I mean, Jason Tatum is the rich man's Harrison Barnes after all. He's got all the hype and pub and none of the stats or production to back it up so far. So give him his own team, let him turn into Paul Pierce and then whine about not having help in like 4 years. But in the meantime, we'd all be like, oh, Jason Tatum's pretty good. Let him go hog wild. Trade him away. Let's do this fucking thing. I love the idea of Jason Tatum wanting to be traded for Anthony Davis. Yes, let's do the damn thing. Tatum and Brown for Anthony Davis. All four of my picks this year. Do it, Boston. You have to do it at the end of the year. But anyway, still, there you go. That's some good yenars. Jason Tatum, definitely. I would want to be traded for Anthony Davis. I'd have my own team. Go hog wild. Go fucking bananas. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me, look at me, look at me. Donovan Mitchell is Steve Francis. That's it. Like, that's the unpopular opinion of the day. How's their second year stats? Steve Francis was actually better than Donovan Mitchell. Basically, aged the exact same. Steve Francis, second year, 45.1% from the field. Donovan Mitchell, 41.2%. From three, Steve Francis, not noted sharpshooter, 39.6%. On a fair whack of attempts as well. Donovan Mitchell, 30% from three. On even more whack of attempts. That's fucking horrible. They're taking the same amount of two-point attempts, 11 and 11.8. But Steve Francis's effective field goal percentage was 50.6. Donovan Mitchell's 46.6. Jesus. Steve Francis also averaged 6.9 rebounds. Donovan Mitchell, 3.6. Steve Francis, 6.5 assists. 3.4 for Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell averages 20.2 points a game. Steve Francis, 19.9. If Steve Francis played as many minutes as Donovan Mitchell did, or does, in his second year, he would have smoked him. He's already smoking him in the stats, Donovan Mitchell. Steve Francis with better publicity. That also could basically double Outback Takeouts, couldn't it? I like it. But anyway, step on in to Outback. It's Wednesday at Outback. You know what that means? Our patented West Sydney Razorback ribs cooked by Derek Rucker. Only at Outback, they go great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is the Raptors are cowards for cheering Vince Carter. That's right, they're cowards. Sure, he helped build basketball in Toronto and Canada and inspire a legion of Canadian basketballers like Jamal Murray and Andrew Wiggins and co. But he also blatantly quit on you and bailed when things got a little hard and set basketball back on the Raptors for about 10 years. They only got relevant again once they traded for Kyle Lowry and drafted DeMar DeRozan. I'm all for forgive and forget, but cheering for him like he's some beloved uncle? Have some respect for yourselves, Toronto fans, and keep on booing. Only at Outback. Oh, that's a great Outback Takehouse. Raptors fans are cowards for cheering Vince Carter. Ah, oh, they're also Canadian, so they're also really nice. So they're not cowards, are they? I mean, it's a weird situation. He quit so fucking hard on Toronto. They were never going to pack up and leave like Vancouver because it, like, they ended up being sold to what, the Maple Leafs, and they're just basically a fucking license to print money there in Toronto. It's also a huge market, so they wouldn't leave them. But still, man, he quit so fucking hard, and I appreciate it because he really did make basketball cool, basically, in Canada. So, a bit tricky. Anyway, there you go. That's what Outback Takehouse is all about, isn't it? Also, Donovan Mitchell is Steve Francis. Right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch right after this one.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, it's Australian Player Watch. Let's do it. Big Simo, Ben Simmons in the win over Washington. He had 17 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, and 3 steals. Looked amazing, too. Son of Bruce, Jonah Bolden, also played 18 minutes. He had 4 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, went 2 or 3 from the field. On ya, son of Bruce. Milwaukee, it's Algonquin for the Goodland, and the Utah Jazz went head-to-head, so that meant some Australian-on-Australian violence, and a rough one for the jingler, Joe Ingles. 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, finishes with 2 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal. Rough one. Dante Exum is out for 2 to 3 weeks with an ankle sprain, so he didn't play. And jingler is in a big slump. Last 5 games, he's 35% from the floor. That's 1 of 5, 0 of 5, 5 of 10, 6 of 11, and 1 of 6. But from 3, where his bread and butter is, he's 3 of 19 in that stretch. Jesus! That's brutal! In that same game, Kung Fu Thon McCur had himself a game! 18 minutes, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. That was a man's game from Kung Fu Thon. He was awesome. Giannis was tickling his balls after it as well, saying, oh, we wouldn't have won without him. Hope we stay here and build something special for years to come. And I say, me too, buddy. Me too. On your Kung Fu Thon. That was awesome. You can go watch the video on our Facey and Insta. Love it. King Daly of Maribara, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, came back for the Cavs today against Indy. Played 18 minutes. Couldn't get on the scoreboard with the points. 0 of 3 from the field. Missed his 2 threes as well. But he did have 5 assists, which is pretty great, because if you extrapolate that per 36, of course, Daly averages 10 assists per 36. Just what he does. On you. On you, King Daly. Paddy Thrills Mills against the Pistons. He went 4 of 10 from the field, 13 points, 4 all rebounds, 2 assists. Crushed it. Aaron Bangers Baines out, still injured. And Ryan Rowdy Brockoff didn't get out on the court against the Lakers, which is probably why they lost. Don't know why Rick Carlisle doesn't want to play his best player, but hey. That's why he's the coach and I'm not. For the G League guys, that's right, man. On Wednesdays, we're going to pick up on our G League dudes and see what they've been up to. Mitchy Creek had a career-high 29 points against Erie Bayhawks and then backed it up with 14 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists against the Raptors 905. Unreal. He's currently averaging 15 points, shooting 55% from the field, 5.5 rebounds, 2.1 assists, and a steal per game. That is awesome, Mitchy. Love it. Dengadel. Raptors 905 crushing it against Westchester. He had himself a big game. Not really. Dengadel has been in a bit of a slump of late. 5 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. And against Long Island when he played Mitchie, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. His averages have subsequently dropped down to 12.3 points, 5.2 rebounds, 2.6 assists, and only 40.6 from the field and 28.1 from 3. I'll tell ya. Isaac Humphreys, big Zach Humphreys, hump day. That's why we're doing this on Wednesday, because it's hump day versus Long Island. He played Mitchie as well. That was when Mitchie went hog wild. He had 7 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 blocks. And then against the Windy City Bulls, he had 7 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 blocks. Isaac Humphreys out there crushing it at the moment, averaging now 9.8 points, 6.5 rebounds, 0.9 assists, but shooting 54.5 from the field and 36.1% from 3. That is absolutely unreal. Great job, Isaac Humphreys. Hump day. All right, what do we do on Wednesdays? Oh, let's chuck in. I love it. It's time for a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. Woo!
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
Oh, yes, it is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history because 20 years ago, or 21 years ago now, got to remember it's 2019, back in the turn of 1998, we were all listening to Blink-182. There was another Jebediah record that had come out. And everyone's like, you know what's really good? Grinspoon. But also, Luke Longley was out there fucking crushing it. Big fella had just about the best week in all of his career over the start of 1998 for the Chicago Bulls on his way to his third straight title. Absolutely fucking pounded the Wolves, 16-5-4. Backs it up with a 10-5-3 against the Pistons. And then an absolutely gigantic game against the Bucks, 24 points, 9 rebounds and 8 assists, which then was finished off the week because he played fucking, how's this? This is how crazy the schedule used to be. They'd be easily playing 4 or 5 games in a week. 11-10-6 against the Knicks and Big Patrick Ewing. Luke Longley absolutely smashing it. Also had a 23-10 against the Lakers just before Christmas in 97. So Big Lucian was on a fucking tear and a half, mate. And it was all, look, I'm not saying it was all because he's like, you know what? Ah, shit. Once MJ bounces after this year, once we win the title again, I need to make myself some money. So he did. On your Lucian, make that money, son. That was a huge week. It's actually the closest he ever came to posting a couple of triple-doubles was in that week with the big assist game. There was another one, I believe, a couple of weeks later from now, so at the end of Jan, where he had a 24 and like it was like another 8 assists or something. It was absolutely wild. So great job, Luke Longley. That is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. He inspired a generation. When MJ and the Bulls were out there winning that second three-peat, Big Lucian was right in the middle of it, inspiring an entire generation of Hoops fans in Australia. So on ya, Luke Longley. All right, that's pretty good. We're back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and some game previews right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. And look, Patty, he's like, he tweeted out the other day. We've already mentioned that. He's doing good on you, Patty. Hasn't tweeted, though, since he tweeted and we read it out the other day. So we're going to give this one to our man, Kane Pittman, who got a great quote from Thon and then tweeted it out. So it's actually from Kane Pittman. You got to follow him on Twitter anyway. He's unreal. Out there covering the Bucks for Australia. Thon McCur, his quote was, "Yesterday I went to church. I saw a sign outside the door that said, 'Your legacy starts today.' I felt like it was talking to me. I thought it might have been on the court that my legacy starts." Ah, Thon, that's fucking awesome. On you, mate. Absolutely crushed it as well. 15 points in 18 minutes. That's right. Extrapolation is what we do. Oh, I reckon Thon, if he gets a bit more of a run, 30 points a game. Just how he does it. And good job to Kane Pittman for getting that quote. Absolute rip snorter. Love it. All right, let's get stuck into the game previews for the next couple of days, shall we?
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How are you going with the squid?
Pretty good, man. Watching a shit ton of basketball with him, I'll tell you that much. That little kid's probably watched more basketball than any kid his age ever. Well, especially right now. So tomorrow we've got a rip snort of a slate. What do we got? Like 10 games. Joys. Indy at Boston. Oh, that's an awesome one. It's going to be well fun. Victor Oladipo. Maybe we get some Kyrie. Who knows? How's his eyes going? This is a nice, tasty one because they are currently floating around that sort of, you know, between 3 through 5 spot in the East behind the Raptors and Bucks in the mix there with the Sixers. So it could easily be a 4-5 matchup in the first round of the playoffs. Jeez, India, Boston, imagine that. Give me Boston. It's the Larry Bird Bowl. Give me Boston in this one tomorrow. I reckon they'll be fine. Maybe. Maybe, yeah. Indy be on a back-to-back. They were just in Cleveland. Go to Boston. Yeah, give me Boston. Philly go to Washington. The old back-to-back. The home-and-home back-to-back. So they played today in Philly, and tomorrow they play in Washington. It's literally just down the fucking road. Like, what, less than an hour on a train? No, more than an hour, but not too much more. So it all works. So look, give me Philly. They just smoked them today. I'll see them smoke them tomorrow. Atlanta visit Brooklyn. Brooklyn will beat Atlanta, hopefully. Milwaukee visit Houston. That is an absolute fucking rip snorter of a game. You've got the Greek Freak going against the Beard. What are you going to do? Fear the Beard or fear the Deer? I will take Milwaukee in this. Milwaukee, it's Algonquin for the good land. And that's what it's going to be in Houston tomorrow as Milwaukee smoke Houston. San Antonio go to Memphis and beat the Grizzlies, no doubt. Grizzlies are a rabble at the moment. Cleveland visit New Orleans. New Orleans should get that win because Cleveland suck. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland sucks. New Orleans will smoke them. Phoenix at Dallas. Dallas need to bounce back and beat the Suns. Dallas, after their big loss to the Lakers, even though Luka went hog wild, they need a settler, and that'll be against Phoenix. It'll be two Rookie of the Year candidates, though. DeAndre Ayton versus Luka. That'll be fun. Give me Dallas, though. Orlando at Utah. Utah should smoke Orlando. They suck. Chicago do as well. They're playing in Portland. Portland should win that. And the Lakers host Detroit basketball. I reckon Detroit, watching Blake Griffin coming back to LA, playing in the building that he made his legacy in, I reckon he comes out and smokes the Lakers, so give him Detroit in that one. And then on Friday, these will be the games that we're covering on Friday. We're also going to have PDX Pete on for Friday's show. We're also going to do a big sort of mid-season MVP run and all the awards. We'll go through all those. Friday's games, we've got Boston at Miami. Oh, just a couple of Eastern Conference Finals rematches. Yeah. Give me Boston. Even on a back-to-back, I think they win. Clippers visit Denver. Denver should win that. Clippers are very, very good, though, so that should be pretty tight. Going to be a good litmus test for Denver. A lot of big dudes they can throw at Joker and see how they go. OKC go to San Antonio and will be trying to bounce back from their horrible loss to the Wolves today. Give me OKC. I think they might eke that one out. And then finally, Detroit basketball go from LA up to Sacramento. And Sacramento might just have enough to beat them at home. That should be fun on the bun, actually. Go Sacramento. And you know what? That's it for today. Yes, unreal. We'll wrap up all those games on Friday and talk about everything that happened in between and all that sort of stuff. As a reminder, we're going to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the next couple of weeks as me, the squid, and old mate sort of get settled. Old mate has been watching a shit ton of basketball with me as well because, you know what? I'm sitting there watching a shit ton of basketball. The squid's there. He's hanging out. He's watching basketball. It's all fun and games. It's the old NBA Australia family there. Oh, isn't it nice? Even Larry, the dog, he's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? What are y'all doing hanging around watching basketball for? Throw me the fucking ball, mate. Anyway, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This week, Friday is going to finish up with a big weekend preview, but we're also going to welcome in PDX Pete, talk about our mid-season awards and do a big preview for the weekend and some other fun stuff. Should be good. We'll wrap all the games we just talked about too. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Insta, all that good shit. We're all over the socials during the games. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes. That would really fucking help out. If you're listening on iTunes, rate it, review it. Just chuck a review like, oh, I didn't even like this comp, but fuck it, 5 stars. Bang! Love it. Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, chuck us a follow. Go hard. Also, big thanks to Fascinated, Ramshackle Army, iOS, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. But more importantly, go check out House Hats. From Oslo do the intro and outro music for NBA Australia. Their new band, though, House Hats, I've Been Broken. Go vote for that in the Triple J Hottest 100, would you? They're legendary. You're legendary. Help them out. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Rowdy's Recos. That's right. Ryan Rowdy Brockoff pops by for a new life hack heading into 2019. And we will talk to you on Friday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Horizon! Hi there, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockoff here, back for the first installment of Rowdy's Recos for 2019, just in order to make your new year as stress-free as possible. And how did you bring in your New Year's? Mine was surrounded by friends and loved ones, quietly toasting the clock switching over to another year that's bursting with possibility and endless, endless arrays of love. So, this week's Rowdy's Reco is all about lessening your stress at the start of this new year to make sure that you start it right. And there's no better way to get rid of stress and to set yourself up to not be stressed than planning ahead and booking yourself and your partner a couples massage. Yep, there's nothing more relaxing than laying down mostly naked next to your beloved amid a bunch of scented candles and lovely smelling oils, while some fella named Sean goes to work on your glutes and hammies. Better yet, why not turn it into a spa day for the two of you? Let some lady named Maria go to town on your cuticles and some lovely Vietnamese lass named Phong sort out your corns, and you can get some sweet mud masks and everything. So, if you want to start 2019 off right, get on your phone and surprise your beloved with a forward-thinking couple spa day and take a load off together. You'll love every second of it, and you'll waltz into 2019 feeling like $1 million. I mean, I got one for the missus and I, and then I dropped a career-high 15 points and hit 3 threes the other night. I tell you, it works. An absolute treat. Okay, that's it for this week's Rowdy's Recos. I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff, and I'll be back helping you live a stress-free life next week on NBA Straight Up.